Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
A little word of encouragement. God is talking to me. Psalm 119. Going to read this in... And then we'll talk. We're going to talk Psalm 119, verse 97. You there? Let me hear you say yeah. All right. Verse 97. The Bible says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are the words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Father, we pray that and we believe that you will bless the reading of your word today. Father, I pray that you will pour out revelation and understanding. Father, I pray that you would spark in the people a desire and a hunger and an expectation of hearing you and walking in your ways. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. And amen. I have one point I want to make today. I hope I make it really well because I believe it's important. I believe it's going to prepare us for what's coming. We talk about identity a lot at this church. We talk about identity a lot. Who are you and why are you that way? Who are you? What are your influences? What caused you to be who you are? What dictates the decisions that you make in your life? Where does that come from? Why do you come that way? Why? What happens? What's pushing you along that path? And we have to, as believers, as people, we have to understand why we make the decisions that we make. We have to understand. Otherwise, we're just going to be caught up in the flow going where everybody else is going. And that's not really my thing. The last verse of this scripture that we just read says, "Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way." Why does he say he hates every false way? Why? Why does he hate the false way? And doesn't that sound judgmental to begin with? That he says, there's a false way. Oh, so now you're going to judge my way as a false way and yours the right way. So in this, we're not supposed to judge one another. Jesus said we're not supposed to judge. Jesus is love. And you don't know better than I do. And I'm walking my path, and you're walking your path, and we're on life. And really the point of life is just to be kind to people and to be nice and just live the best life you can. And then we'll all get to heaven. And this is the doctrine of the world. Hate nothing, just be love, and we'll all wind up good. And that's great, and it sounds good, and it feels good, and it sings good, and it smells good. The only problem is it's a lie. The only problem with that is there's no power in it. The problem with that won't get you to where you want to go. You can't just become a stockbroker and say, "Well, I just believe as long as I love, I can just invest in anything and I'll become a millionaire." That's foolishness. If you want to become a pro baseball player, you say, "I just swing any kind of bat at anything and I run anyway and I just do whatever and I'll be a pro baseball player." No. I mean, if you believe that and I say to you, "I just believe that you're supposed to give all your money to me for no reason." You wouldn't say, "Yeah, okay, well, just because I said that, okay." No. Like, no. All roads don't lead to China. All roads don't lead to heaven. Of course, that's not the truth. We need to understand what the truth of God is so we can access that truth for our good and God's glory. That's the whole goal. That's why we're walking here. That's what we're supposed to do. And today we're going to talk a little bit about what motivates us in our decisions, how we get there, what the whole point of it is. Proverbs 29:18, I want you to get this scripture. I want you to write it down. I want you to memorize it. This is kind of a cornerstone of what we're talking about. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint." Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. I've been thinking a lot about this because God has prompted it in me. It's the vision for this house. Part of the vision of this house is to raise up preachers of the gospel. Raise up and send out preachers of the gospel. That's what we are. That's what we do. That's every discipleship group we have. It's geared towards how you are going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel and change lives. That's what we do. You know, we don't. You know, I don't do life coaching. I don't teach people to have better dating lives. I don't. You know, we that's just not what we do. It's not who we are. We don't study the Bible just so we can learn a book. You know, like it's Shakespeare or something. You know, we believe that this book is alive and active. That when you put this thing to work, miracles can happen. We just believe that Jesus Christ wants to come and touch people. And there has been an attack against that gospel in this house. And this is what prompts this right now. And I'm pretty excited because when you see the enemy, when the discerning of spirits is activated, sometimes people get scared. But every demon you see, you have authority over if you're a believer. If you see the enemy, you have authority over him. And so he wants you to be scared when you see him, but really he has been uncovered. And his last resort is fear. His last weapon is fear. So when you see an enemy, you have authority over him. And so when I see one manifesting, and in this house, we don't look for demons. We don't do deliverance sessions looking for demons and tell me about your childhood. Was your mom ever mad at you? Okay, well, let's go ahead and cast out that hatred spirit, the spirit of death. And, you know, let's see if there might be a demon there. Let's see. No. We don't do that. We do this by grace. This is how that works. When the Lord shows it to us, it's time for it to come out. And so sometimes that thing will manifest, and I'm like, well, praise God. Now you have to go. And the enemy has manifested, and I'm pretty excited because it's time for him to go. I'm excited. We're called to raise up preachers of truth. When I started this house, one of the words that was spoken over me, I got called out of a meeting, and this woman, this prophetic woman, told me, had confirmed the word that God had spoken over me. He said, you're called to be a preacher of righteousness. You're called to be a preacher of righteousness. Well, in order to be a preacher of righteousness, you have to know what righteousness is. Otherwise, you're just defining it on your own. You're defining your own rules. You're defining your own parameters. This is what I think the right thing is, and so I'm preaching it, and so that's what we're going to do. Well, how do you know that's it? Well, just what I feel. Well, that's great, except you didn't have the power to create the heavens and earth, and you don't have the power to make that word come to pass. You might want to find out what righteousness is so you can preach it and make it bring life in people. Is this good? You getting this? And so as I'm praying and as I'm studying and as I'm looking, okay, what are we using to govern our lives? What are we using to define righteousness? How are we going toward righteousness? How are we go against righteousness? What are the pillars of righteousness? How do we frame our lives so we can operate within biblical truth? These are things that are important to understand. Normally you go to a church and they just tell you, here's what you need to do. Do these things and you'll be good. And we're not interested in that because that's religion. I'm not here to give you laws. Maybe to Destiny here, maybe Destiny came up in a lifestyle where she was not encouraged, and the word of the Lord for her is you need to never look at yourself, and you need to be more bold, and you need to go for it, and you need to press ahead. And anytime you think you can't do something, you need to reject that. Maybe that's the word for her, but that's not the word for Mikey. Maybe the word for Mikey is his family lied to him, and they were criminals, and they're brother and sister, so they grew up in the same house, so clearly I'm not talking about their families. Unless they did, I don't know, but is the word of knowledge flowing? No, it's not. I just realized that was pretty funny. So maybe in Mikey's house, he grew up under a house where they were criminals, and they need more restraint. And you think you can do this, but the word of the Lord is you can't do that. You need to stop. You need to find out the word. And so the word for Mikey is not necessarily the word for Destiny, but the word to be righteous is for both of them. We need to teach the righteousness that Christ is, and you need to apply that to your life and see how that manifests so you can obtain the righteousness of God, so you can proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ, so his kingdom could be expanded on the earth. You're right? So we want to find out what that is, because there is a truth. There is a truth, and it does not change. And there is a way, and there's only one of them that leads to heaven. There's lots of ways. One leads to Jesus. Other ones lead to destruction. And we don't want to be in destruction because it's so easy just to get to Jesus. I'm confounded that people would choose another way. When this way is free, you get eternal life at the end, And right now, you get peace and you get health and you get joy and you get family and you get wholeness and you get victory and you get all these wonderful things now and eternal life. No, I think I'll just pick oppression. Like, that's the path that leads to destruction, though. Yeah, but that other way, I don't know. That way, I don't get to go to a club. I don't understand. I'm depressed now, and I have anxiety, and I have eating disorders, and all that, and I'm, you know, I can't. And that way, I all that would be taken care of. But you know, this way, I get to stay up late and dance to music, and people touch me in unclean ways. So I'm just gonna. You know, there's where the fire does not quench and the worm does not cease. That way, you understand that, right? You. Oh yeah, oh no, I know. That's a price you have to pay, I guess. Wait, what? Really? All right. I don't understand that. See, I bend down that life, and it was kind of fun. The depression wasn't so much fun. The anxiety wasn't that much fun. The loneliness, not so much fun. Having people you can't trust in your life, not that much fun, I think. But that's just me. You know, that's just me. And I like living in heaven for eternity, personally. Personally. And so I don't understand why people wouldn't choose Jesus, personally. I mean, he's free. I don't know if they know that either. It's free. So there's broke people who wouldn't do it if it cost something. They're like, well, they want all your money at church. Well, I've never been to a church that actually said we want all your money, because if we had all your money, you wouldn't be able to get to church. You know, so it's like a pretty bad experience. Because when I would go to club, there were people constantly harassing you to spend more money. You've been on a cruise? It's like, I don't want your thing, your drink. I don't want it. It's $7. I don't want it. No, what I told her is what I'm telling you. If I want to drink that bad, I'd bring a bottle, okay? I don't want it. But I don't hear people say, I'm not going on a cruise. All they want is your money. They charge you to get on it, and they charge you for drinks, and all they want is your money. You know? Well, I don't hear that accusation about the cruise. I went to the restaurant. All they wanted was my money. I'm not going back to a bunch of hypocrites. They said they got good food, but all they wanted was offer me a steak. And then they said, do you want some dessert? I said, yeah. They said, it's more money. I never heard nobody say that. But they said that about church. Get mad. I went to Publix. All they wanted was my money. The more stuff I put in my cart, the more money they wanted. Yeah, they're selling stuff. That's how it works. They don't say that. All they want is my money at church. You know, we have to pay for the building. You understand that? You know, like, stuff costs money. Well, God will provide. Really? Have you seen that happen? Have you seen God just drop lights for you in the past, you know? If you have faith. You don't have faith to even tithe, and you're telling us how to have faith for lighting systems. What are you talking about? I don't know what that's about. I'm sorry. That's not even in the notes, but... But Christianity's free. It really is. And I don't know what to tell you if that's you. Bless the Lord Jesus. But I, you know, since I'm in this thing and I've given Jesus my life, I might as well make it work on my behalf. I didn't like go to the altar and now I'm hanging on until I get to heaven. If all you got was salvation, here's what we would have to do. We would have an altar call, and then we would have a pool right over there, and we would take you from the altar to the pool and hold you at the bottom of the pool till you die. And then you will go to heaven because that's all you get. That's all there is. You get saved and that's all there is. And now I don't get to go to clubs and I don't get to, you know, get whatever, you know, I don't, and that's all there is. And so you might just go to heaven or there's many in Islam who wait till they're very old to do their Hajj. You know, the Hajj where they're supposed to go to Mecca once in their lifetime to do the pilgrimage and walk around that big black. You ever seen that? The big black rock. They throw a pebble down, you know, and many, many Muslims, because when you do that, your sins are forgiven. In their, whatever that is, belief system. So many, many Muslims wait till they're old to do that because, you know, you want the most amount of sins forgiven as possible. You want to maximize your benefit on this thing. You don't do it too young, you know, because clearly you're not going to stop sinning. So I'm going to save it for later. Hope you can, you know, kind of do that thing at the right age, you know, old enough that you haven't died yet, but maximize your sin potential before. You understand? It just that kind of makes sense if that's what it is, and so they do that, and because that's all there is. It's not like you do that and now you come into something better, because that's all there is, because it's a man-made system. Christianity, salvation is a doorway to more greatness. Salvation is just the doorway to living in the presence of God and the kingdom of God in this realm we call faith. Now, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to come and corrupt your faith, because if he can corrupt your faith, then you can believe for wrong things and you don't get God's fruit in your life. And so the writer of Proverbs tells us, where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. That tells me it's possible for us to do stuff that doesn't line up with the prophetic vision. And that's bad, because then we don't get to come into what God has for us. I taught this before, but vision dictates decisions. Decisions determine outcomes. Vision dictates decisions. Decisions determine outcomes. Very rarely are we in major situations that we had nothing to do with. Now, there's sickness that comes because man fell. There's issues in the economy. Yes, all that. But by and large, we decide and we cause what happens in our lives. We make decisions, and because of those decisions, we dictate tomorrow. Let me make an example. Let's say you're living out of debt. Let's say that you're living on borrowed money. Let's say you're taking student loans, or you're living off of credit cards, or you're borrowing your way through life. What you literally are doing when you spend that money, when you spend money you do not have, is you're spending next week's paycheck today. You're spending next week's paycheck today, and if you've already spent that one, you're spending next month's paycheck. That's what's called debt. You owe more than you have. You're spending future income. At some point, you won't have income to overcome the debt. You, because of your decisions, you are now in a situation that you don't want to be in. You're living in debt. And at some point, people stop loaning you money because they don't trust that you'll pay them back, because you have far more money that you owe than you're going to bring in. You've spent so many future paychecks that they don't believe that their debt will ever get paid, because you don't make enough to pay off those future paychecks. Does that make sense? Vision dictates decisions. Decisions determine outcomes. What is this vision? What are the things that dictate our vision? What are these things that we base our decisions on? We call those core values. These are the core values of your life. The classic word for that is called your ethos. Your ethos are the core values of your life. You getting this? It's your ethos. An ethos is a value that supersedes every other value in your life. Your core values, they supersede every other value. Let me put some legs on this. For me, I have some core values that I live by. I have core values that when I make a decision, it cannot violate these core values of mine. One is, I'm going to be a son of God. I'm going to be a child of God, a follower of Jesus, number one. Number two, I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be a good husband. I'm going to be a good father is another core value of mine. I am not going to be a liar. That's a core value of mine. I'm not going to lie to people. And so when a situation comes to me, I need this ingrained in me so it's not a thought. Do I do this or don't I do this? Do I lie to them or do I not lie? My wife is asking me a question that makes me uncomfortable. Do I lie to her and make myself feel better, or do I tell her the truth? Well, two core values is I don't lie and I'm a good husband. And good husbands don't lie to their wives. You say, well, if she finds out about that, she'll get hurt. Well, let's take a step back. We don't do things that we might need to lie to her about. You know, if we'd agreed on a budget and I decide, you know, I know this isn't in our budget and, you know, the kid's tuition is coming up, but I think I'll just spend, you know, $3,000 on some new rims in the car, you know. We don't have money for that, but, you know, honey, where'd those rims come from? Chris gave them to me, honey. You know, he always buying rims. He's single. He can throw away money like that. Now, I've just violated a couple of our core values. Now, my son doesn't have tuition money. I've lied to my wife. I'm a liar. You know, we don't even have to get God in the mix here. We don't have to get to that one. That's just, you see what I'm saying? I violated my core values. And so what I have to do is, part of my core values is that I'm going to be a good husband, so I don't get to do those kind of things. I restrain myself from those things because they violate my core values. You get this? Your ethos is the sum total of your core values. They're having fun in Revival Kids. Just leave them alone. They're doing good. Have fun. That's life. That's the sound of life. You know that? Unless they're choking someone, then that's the sound of death. But we're just going to believe. No, sit down, Denise. They're fine. Sit down, Denise. They're fine. They don't need you in there. We've empowered and released people. Let them do their thing. They're having fun, right? That's life. Hallelujah. Are you following me here, right? I'm going somewhere, I promise. You writing any of this down? Because this is good stuff. You probably want to refer to this later. This is good stuff. Okay, so out of your core values comes your vision. Your vision for your life comes out of your core values. This is what you want to accomplish. It's not a goal. This is not your goal. This is what you want to accomplish. Out of your core values comes your vision. That's what you want to accomplish. It's not a goal because a goal involves a date. People say, oh, I want to climb Mount Everest. Really? What are you doing about that? Well, nothing right now. It's just a goal of mine. No, it's not. It's just something you want to do. If it was a goal, you'd have a date and you'd be working toward it. People say, oh, I'm going to be a guitar player. Really? Do you own a guitar? No. Okay, so it's not really a goal of yours. If it were a goal, you'd either have a guitar or you'd be saving for a guitar or you'd be taking guitar lessons or it would be some action toward this thing that you want to be doing. It's just something you want. Yeah? Okay? You're not working against it, but you're not working toward it. So it's not a goal yet. Your ethos, it answers the question, who am I? It's who am I? In my ethos, as we look at Proverbs 29:18, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. My core values, you ready for this? My core values, my ethos, this gives boundaries. You're listening now, right? This gives boundaries to what I dream about. It gives my ethos, my core values, it gives boundaries to what I dream about. Let me give you a real simple biblical example. I want to be a good husband. Yeah? I don't want to be a bad husband. I want to be a good husband and a Christ follower. I cannot fantasize about another woman. Because that violates my ethos. My ethos is to be a good husband. Therefore, I can't talk to another woman. My ethos gives boundaries to what I dream about. I don't allow myself to dream about things that work against what God has called me to do. You see that? My ethos supersedes every other value, and so I hold that highest. It gives me parameters to my vision. The vision is the operation of your mission. So you say, I'm going to go ahead and I want to accomplish this thing. I want to accomplish this. This is a desire of mine. I want to fill a stadium. Maybe I got a vision for filling a stadium, which I actually did. Right after I got saved, the Lord showed me a stadium. And that's all I saw. And I don't know what that's about. And so I have my ethos. I have my core values. One of my core values is that Jesus Christ has separated me for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what I am. That's who I do. It's not just a job of mine. It's not just I don't have a business card. But if I had a business card, not just something I would put on the business card, it's who I am. It's what I do with my life. And so if God shows me a stadium, clearly it's not for people to worship me. It's not for me to turn into a pop star or, shall I say, someone's idol. Because the Lord has called me to Him and I can't have any idols other than Him. And I certainly can't create any idols. So for me to create an idol for people to worship would violate my ethos, which is I'm a Christ follower who said there shall be no other idols. So I have to, within my vision, I have to see how we make this come to pass within my ethos. How does that happen? How would God fill a stadium? Well, it would be for His glory. Well, He's going to have to make that come to pass, but I need to work out my gift so I can get into a place that He can make it come to pass so that vision can come without violating my ethos. Is this making any sense? Am I talking in circles here? Here's the challenge that we get. God has core values. He has core values. There's things that God cannot violate. God cannot lie. And I bet we can, if we got like 20 of you and we could write on a board and we could say things that this is who God is. God is love. God cannot lie. God desires that none should perish, but that all have everlasting life. Right? We just know these things about God. God has core values. And the challenge for us as the church collectively is, our core values have to line up with God's core values. In the church, collectively, this is called doctrine. Right doctrine is a reflection of God's core values on us as a church. That's what doctrine is. Doctrine has bad word mouth. It's restraining. It's religion. No. It's us just saying, this is who God is, and this is how we receive him. And anything that comes against this, we really can't embrace because it lies about who God is. And it allows us to operate outside of his core values. This is kind of deep, I know, but I'm preparing us for where we're going in the next couple weeks. I hope we're getting this. I think this excites me. So when someone comes to you and I bash YouTube a lot, but if you're watching a YouTube video and you watch people doing things that are just unclean and saying God says it's okay, we have to remember Psalm 119:104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. When I'm not following in God's precepts, I don't have understanding. My vision is cloudy. When I love a false way, I no longer am walking in God's precepts. Well, I don't want to walk in a false way. I want to walk in truth. Well, I better know what God calls truth so I can walk in it, so I can have understanding. Am I preaching to anybody in here? This is good? Are we getting something here? Thank you. Roger's waving a hand. All right, I'm feeling all right then. Gifting, you better make sure that the vision for your life lines up with God's vision. Otherwise, you're walking in deception. And you're opening yourself to something other than God's best. Gifting, that's my son going for track there. Gifting is not vision. Gosh. Gifting is not vision. People say, well, you know, I sing real well, therefore I want to be a singer. God's going to use me to be a singer. No, that just means you sing real well. Gifting is not vision. Well, you know, I could dance. Let's start a dance group for Jesus. Let's not. Let's not do that, please. They wanted to start a dance group about a year and a half ago. I said, if y'all could dance good enough that you wouldn't be embarrassed to do it in a club, I'll let you do it. No, we're not going to do it. All right, then. That's it. We're not going to do some whack thing in the church and call it a ministry. I've been embarrassed about more fine arts in the church. My God. I'm sorry. I'm not going down that road. Okay. Good ideas are not vision. This seems like a good idea. Anybody see Father Lights? Why are you standing out here with these plaques? Well, it seemed like a good idea. It's not. You know, that's what I want to tell them. It's not a good idea. Did anybody see the movie Father Lights? There's these people protesting, telling people that they're going to go to hell. And they ask the guy, why are you doing that? You know, well, it seemed like a good idea. Have you ever seen anybody get saved? He says, no, but I've only been doing this since the mid-80s. What? All right. That's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. Good ideas are not God vision. What we need to do, and I'm going to wrap up very soon. What we need to do is we need to get God's vision. Any vision that we get, we need to hold it in the light of God's vision. We need to see God's ethos and we hold it up like a paper, and then we put our vision in front of it and we make sure it fits with inside God's vision. And if it doesn't, then it's deception. And what we need to do is we need to develop self-control so we can be driven by our ethos, not the desires of our flesh. This is why we develop self-control. This is why we buffet the flesh. This is why we deny ourselves. It's why we fast. It's why we pray. You know, that's why we read our Bible. Very, very few people open this book up and say, you know, this looks like a really good novel. I'll just read this every day for the rest of my life. This will be interesting. You know, it'll be fun. Let me study Deuteronomy today. That ought to be a good time. Let's see. Should I study that really popular novel about fornication, or should I study this Bible? Nah, I think I'll study the Psalms, you know? No. Well, why do you do this? It's a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline. I mean, when we raise our kids, we don't say, you know what would be fun? Let's clean the room. That'll be good. And you know what else? We're not going to lie anymore. I know it's fun to lie. We're not going to do that, though. No, we say, guess what? We're going to train ourselves. We're going to train ourselves. We're going to train ourselves spiritually so that what we think is good lines up with what God says is good. Well, I just find this Bible boring. Yeah, too bad. Keep reading it. Ask Jesus to give you a hunger and truth. I'm just talking. Is that all right? When I talk to people, like, I don't really like to go to church. Well, that's the problem. Well, I don't like going to church. It's filled with hypocrites. Well, I'd say you're probably the first one. They're all gossips in there. Well, you're gossiping about them. You sure know a lot about gossip. Nah, these Christians are so judgmental. Well, it sounds like you're judging them. All of them. The several billion of them. Oh, wow, you're pretty all-knowing right there. That's amazing. I suppose you think we should worship you. Repent. That's what I just want to say. Please repent. Avoid hell. Quickly. That's like people who get this great teaching. You ready? This great revelation. You know, covering is a false doctrine. It's control. Covering and pastoral, it's just control. I'm like, really? So you're going to submit to people because you're coming under somebody's teaching. So you're going to come under somebody's teaching who doesn't believe in covering. How do you get covered then? I'm in the rain, but I'm going to listen to people who don't believe in umbrellas. You're going to get wet. No, I don't believe there's covering. I don't believe in it. Well, then you won't have any. You got it. Woohoo! That was easy. I'll just go ahead and believe in it and receive it, if that's all right. I've received the fruit of covering, and it has blessed me. I have struggled with things in this ministry. I've struggled with things in my walk, and I call up my pastor, Pastor David. Man, I'm going through some things. He says, I know. I've been praying for you. I've been waiting for you to call. Let me tell you what's going on. Thank you, Jesus. Got my tithe check in the mail, bro. Don't worry. Let me know if they ever bounce, bro. I got you a new one right here. Don't worry. I need that stuff flowing. I don't believe in covering. All right, be uncovered. That's up to you. That's between you and God. Go for it. I'm not going to be offended. Well, I don't believe in covering. Okay. I just don't. All right. Well, I'm going to teach that. Oh, why? You want people to come under you? You want to be their covering and without covering? Is that what you're trying to say? Do you understand what's happening right now? I mean, are you? I don't believe in that. Well, then don't receive it. It's up to you. I don't believe in healing. Then be sick. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to go ahead and believe in healing. You cannot believe in whatever you want. That's fully up to you. I don't believe in the tithe. Then don't get blessed in your finances. That's up to you. You can just be as broke as you want to be. I don't care. It's between you and I don't. It's be blessed. Be blessed. You can come receive the word. You're not going to be in leadership, praise God. But, you can do whatever you want to do. I just want to be in charge of people. Well, go see, tell me how that works for you. If one of your core values is you're not going to submit to anybody, then the fact that you want to lead people makes you a hypocrite. You're just a hypocrite. In the world, we call that a bully. I don't want people to tell me what to do, but I want to tell people what to do. That's a bully. And God doesn't bless that. God doesn't bless leadership or covering that controls people's lives. That's not grace. He's not into that. But he doesn't say, therefore, I'll have no leaders. And you don't have to come under them. That violates God's ethos. I just believe this. And we make fun of that statement all the time because it's just, who cares what you believe? Well, I just believe whatever. Well, I believe you're going to give me $1 million, How's it feel to believe? Philippians 3:12 says in the ESV this way. He says, not that I have already obtained or am already perfect, but I press on to make my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I like how this says it in the New King James. I don't know if we have it or not. Listen to this. New King James, Philippians 3:12. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. Now, this is Paul. Paul had more worked out than you and me combined. You know what I'm saying? Paul had things worked out. He says, not that I've already attained or am perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. See, when you met God, He had a plan for your life. He had a purpose. And many times, we so value prophetic revelation in this house because we believe it gives you something to shoot for. It gives you a goal in this life that you're to attain. Literally, that prophetic revelation, that vision, is just a sign of God's potential in you. And God sets this up there. He says, listen, if you follow me, here's what you get right here. This is what you get to obtain. I'm going to send you to the nations. You're going to preach the gospel. Great meetings. People will come to know me. You'll have a wife. You'll have kids. You'll have love. You'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have everlasting love with me. You'll live with me forever and ever and ever. And God, when he gives that vision, it's his presupposition that you're going to follow him. He just assumes since you've met him and he told you to follow him, you're going to follow. And so some people get a vision and they say, well, it's going to come to pass. I know one day I'm going to be an apostle. And people have actually come into my office and let me know that they're an apostle because they got a prophetic word about it 30 years ago. I'm like, well, that's interesting. What have you done since then? What have you done to come into this apostolic ministry? You got a prophetic word. Well, if it was just prophetic words, this whole house would be filled with prophets and apostles and you all would be up here preaching. We'd be preaching to one another. There'd be nobody preaching. We'd all be preaching. Well, I'm the king of Siam. Well, I'm the prophet of Europe. Oh, that's amazing. I'm the bishop of London. Oh, that's awesome. But you don't live in London and you don't live in Siam. And I don't even know where that is. Well, whatever it is, I'm the apostle of it. And people gossip about me because I'm bold enough to say, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not even a good husband. You're certainly not, you know, an elder in South Florida. Your wife don't even like you, and I'm supposed to submit to you? Come on. Let's crack open the Bible. Let's embrace what God has already said before we start making up stuff. You know what I mean? If you believe God is releasing new revelation, let's get the old revelation down first. Just work on this right here. I'm not worried about new revelation. Let's get this worked out first, and then tell me about your new revelation. But God is saying this. Well, what about what he already said? Let's talk about that. Well, I don't know if I believe in that. Then I certainly don't believe in you. Y'all are distracting me here. James chapter 4, he says, you desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain. You fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask. You ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Leave that up for a second. Let me give you a couple examples. Let's say when I got saved, I got the vision of the stadium. And I immediately surmised that I'm going to be a rock star. Now, I know that's easy to vision for me. Seeing the massive crowds that I've drawn thus far, and my amazing singing and musical abilities, it's easy to envision that. Well, let's just say that's what I did. Clearly, people are going to worship me, and I'm going to be an amazing musician that people are going to gather around to see me. I got to start dressing like a rock star and acting like a rock star and learning my rock star stuff. Clearly, God is going to use me to fill stadiums with my amazing, entertaining abilities. And so I'm asking for stadiums, but I don't get them. Why? Because I ask wrongly to spend it on my passions. Listen, you can ask for the right stuff in the wrong way and not get what God has for you because you're asking it for the wrong reasons. God is an amazing God, and he's not going to set you up for failure. He's not going to set you up that you would fall on your face. He's not going to set you up that you will fall away from him because you've turned his gift into an idol. He's not going to set you up for that. And so many people I see not getting anywhere. And they know, I'm called to this thing and there's no fruit. I'm not getting where I thought God was going to take me. This isn't lining up with what I thought was going to happen, and it's not. And I'm here to let you know, so often it's because your ethos are wrong. Your core values are wrong. You got the vision, but it has not been contained by the right core values. And so you're asking amiss and you're not getting fruit. Let me say it another way. There's no favor on what you're doing because God has not blessed the way you're doing it. He just hasn't blessed it. Oh, I know I'm called to be a preacher. No one's going to stop me. Well, you better have somebody who can stop you. Otherwise, you're not under authority and God's not going to bless it. If nobody can stop you, then you're just in rebellion. As one example. If you're doing something long enough, there's no fruit. At some point, there has to be somebody in your life that you can go to and say, what am I doing wrong? And you've already set in your heart that whatever they say, you're going to do. And God is so amazing that he'll just let you fail famously until you come to the place that you can ask somebody, what am I doing wrong? So people make fun of people getting saved in rehab or saved in jail or saved in the hospital. Why? Because God will, he's so awesome that he'll allow you to get there and still cry out, what am I doing wrong, Lord? He says, oh, you need to make me savior. Oh, whew, let me just do that. And so you got these prisoners just walking in the joy of the Lord because they finally got to a place of humility where they'll ask somebody, how do I change my life? And you have some people filled with the Holy Ghost who will work in a rehab situation. They can lead people. Well, I know there's people there who will be desperate for truth, no matter how much it hurts. And then we'll give them the truth right there, and they'll be able to change their life. And there'll be people in the prisons, in the hospitals, in the rehab, and in orphanages, and all other kind of places where people are willing to humble themselves and receive truth. What's painful for me as a pastor is people who say they're going toward the vision, but it's not God's vision, it's their vision. There is no grace on it, there's no fruit, and yet and still are so prideful to think it's the enemy stopping them. And it's painful for me to watch because I know the call of God. I know the call of God. I know what he wants to do, and people won't submit to it. Psalm 119:104, through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Mikey, come on up. God's not a man that he should lie. What he's spoken over you is what he wants to see come to pass. He assumed when he spoke it, you were going to follow him. It's that simple. He assumed when he spoke it that you were going to follow him and do what it would take to make it come to pass. Let's stand. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. She's going to turn on that keyboard any moment. I know it. There we go. Father, we love you. You're so good. Turn it down a little bit. You're a wonderful God, Jesus. Now, I want to just give you a moment right now to just quiet yourself before the Lord. Now, I've asked you to stand, but if you got back issues or knee issues or feet issues or you just really want to focus on Jesus, you can sit down. I just want you to focus on what God is speaking right now. We have to have a core value that what God says is the truth. He says what he means. That his words are literal. And we're going to obey. We have to have that core value to come into what he has for us. Otherwise, we ask for the things he says, but we ask them amiss, and we don't see it come to pass, and we blame God. Father, today, right now, in this house, I pray that you would bless every person under the sound of my voice. You would bless them abundantly, Jesus. You would bless them abundantly, Jesus. Father, I pray for for those who are heavy in heart today, that you would encourage them. Father, those who are sick in their bodies, Father, I pray that you would touch their flesh right now in the name of Jesus, and they will be healed. Those who are dry, that you would fill them right now, Father, that your Holy Ghost would pour out right now. Hallelujah. Father, it is our desire to walk in your ways. Above everything else, we want to walk in your ways. We want to walk in your ways. Father, we know Paul said that there will be false apostles coming and preaching a doctrine, but they're ravenous wolves. They're not coming to build us up. They're just coming to build themselves up. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would purge us of every man-made doctrine. Every man-made doctrine that comes against the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father. Do me a favor, turn the keys down just a little bit more. Father, that you would come in the name of Jesus Christ and you would touch right now. And Father, right now we humble ourselves before you. And we say every area of our life that we're pursuing a wrong avenue or that we believe wrongly or that we've missed the mark, Jesus. Every place in our lives that we have devalued your truth. That we've devalued your truth. Father, that you would value it right now. You would come and you would heal it. Father, that you would heal it. That you would come and you would heal it, Father. That you would grant us repentance in those areas of our lives. That we could be healed. We want to accomplish your plans on the earth, Lord. Reba Shande. Come, Holy Ghost, right now. Come on, I want you to engage in God right now. We're going to be done in about 3 minutes. I want you to engage God right now. And seek your life right now. Where, Lord? Where have I opened doors that take away from the things that you have me to do? Where have I valued things that you've told me to devalue? Where in my life, Jesus? Grant us repentance today, Jesus. Wash us. Father, as this house, as you're speaking your vision for us, that we would follow in your path, Lord. We wouldn't follow man-made church tricks. We wouldn't follow man-made programs or growth guides. But we would follow your voice, Lord. We'd be a people of the voice, a people of the presence. Jesus. I feel like the Holy Ghost is doing something right now. Let's just give him a minute or two. You may want to pray in the Holy Ghost. You may want to repent. And I really feel like there's a couple people in this room that God has pretty clearly told you to do something, and you have really been hesitant. You've been hesitant to say yes. And let me tell you, if you haven't said yes to him yet, you don't even know what it's going to take. And you haven't said yes because you said, well, I know it'll take this. You don't know. He didn't give you the grace to do it until you say you're going to do it. You don't know the next step. I want to challenge you right now not to be disobedient. That you would yield your life to Jesus. That you would yield your life to Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You are so good, Father. You are so good, Father. You're a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, there's healing happening right now. There's healing of the soul right now. And I feel like there's a boldness coming upon a couple people right now. There's people right here, you've been put in compromised situations because of your job. And you've literally had to violate your conscience, and you've learned to kind of turn that off, but you hate it. And I just feel like there's a boldness that's now coming upon you. Not a disrespect, not a bad attitude, but a boldness to say, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm sorry. I just, that's dishonest. I'm not going to be able to do it. See, when you get your ethos right, it's a lot easier to tell your boyfriend, your girlfriend, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that because my core values are more important than my need for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I want to encourage you, and I'm going to release you and empower you to be righteous, to make righteous decisions, to be a Christian in the world. To not be fearful, but to follow God with boldness. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. We love you. If you need healing in your body or you need prayer for anything, you want to meet my wife and I, we'll be right here at the front. Do me a favor and meet 3 people you don't know. Go just meet some people and just love on people and be the church for a moment. If you need prayer or you need to seek God, we'll be right here at the front and ask some of my prayer team to come right down and we'll pray for you.